5.
Oi. Ches Ador Sheni, Friday the 18th of March, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, Parsha, the Parsha of Vayikra and all Parsha Zohar and Purim.
This time last week, in his inimitable and tenacious style, twisted my arm. So I thought I'd better hedge my bets and put Parsha and Purim. And I saw the tefillah come out, and I thought the whole week was full of Purim. After Yoda, I think, I thought I would emphasize a Parsha. So, of course, this Parsha, Parsha's Vayikra, inaugurates the whole Sefer of Korbanos. And I wanted to take us through the famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban in some detail about the nature of Korbanos. First of all, actually, if you look in the Rambam, itself, Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Lamed Beis, it begins with an analysis of the human personality, the nature of humanity, and says that as human beings, we are creatures of habit. I think a more appropriate term is, creatures of habit is a very English term. Because we're more prisoners of habit. We're prisoners of habit. We become so accustomed to various modes of behavior, it's almost impossible to break out of it. And Rambam writes that we see this as well in the natural world. That when mammals are born, this is their constitution, is what he calls the tachlis harakos. It is initially soft, and therefore they're unable to take solids. And it takes time to wean them off solids, and wean them off liquids, and to prepare them for solids. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Megadlos HaBeira, that they have liquids on tap, easily accessible, and then when the time comes, they can be transformed from one place to another. It writes as follows, it is impossible to move from one extreme to the other in one go. It's not appropriate, given the nature of mankind, that he should leave that which is accustomed to in one go. That is his introduction. And of course, it says in Parshas Yisro, that Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klal Yisrael with a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you are to become Mamleches Kohanim Goy Kodesh, the highest of aspirations, Mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of Kohanim Goy Kodesh and a sanctified nation. And that was miles away from where they were. Miles away from where they were, having come out of Mitzrayim. As Rabbi Bernstein, Zichron Roch, used to say, it was more difficult, it was easier to take Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim than to take Mitzrayim out of Klal Yisrael. They'd been accustomed to a whole culture. Not only that, but the practice was used universally to offer sacrifices, but to Avodah Zorah. That was a universal practice. And to ask them to stop, immediately to ask them to stop, would be impossible for them to contemplate. It was a fascinating marshal. So imagine if a Novi would appear to us today and tell us that from now on we are to stop any practical mitzvahs and any davening. And that Yiddishkeit would become, I was going to use the word relegated, basically to a religion just of Machshava. And it would be impossible for us to even think about such a thing. I mean, we're talking about, let's say it was a real novi, who came along and said, you know what, from now on the system has changed, and it would take us time. You know, how would we manage such a thing? Rachman and the of a person has ever been in a situation where they're an Einein, not to put on tefillin in the morning, not to make brachas, it feels so bizarre, it feels so strange. So to try and move a people from a practice they've been accustomed to for hundreds of years and then switch them to something totally different is not the way a Kodesh Baruch Hu operates. The Ficha. Yiniach Yisada Usam Min HaAvodos He'eviro Miyosim Levroim She'enim Amitzos Toshem Yisada. Therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to take the practices they were used to and they were acclimatized to and to transform their use the shame for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the various practices that they had in terms of sacrifices and korbanos and all that went with it. But then once that happened, so there came strict rules about the use of sacrifices. From now on, it only had to be the name Yechorom. It only had to be sacrifices directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, built in Hashem Levado. It couldn't be used for anything else. So the practice, if you like, was similar, but the direction was totally different. And the goal was to eradicate any Zecha of Avodah Zorah from their very being. Now, the Rambam goes on to say that, V'yodeani, I know, ki nafshecha tisroa minin lezeh. You're going to be alarmed at this suggestion. How can there be these commands and these warnings and these remarkable details? With particular times, and yet they have no intrinsic purpose in themselves, so it seems. It's all to wean us off something else. This is the Rambam talking. Everybody knows this type of lashon from the Ramban on the parashah. Look at the Rambam. He raises the question himself. And there is there some kind of tachbula, some kind of scheme to move us from one from the other. And he says there are many examples of the Torah where Kadosh Baruch has to take us on a circuitous route to bring us to our destination. It's positioning. He brings that as the first one. The first instruction almost as Kali Shal had as they left Mitzrayim was, you can't go the direct route. I really wanted to go the direct route, but you can't. I've got to take into account your nature as human beings. You've just been in slavery, and if you suddenly encounter the enemy forces around you, you won't be able to handle that. You're going to collapse at the first hurdle. So therefore, we've got to give you time to acclimatize yourself to a new environment and gently become used to something different. Here, I even ask, the Torah itself has a system of rewards and punishments, deterrents and incentives. Why didn't Hashem give us, create us with the ability to follow it always? Why didn't Hashem give us the ability to follow it always? So he says, because teva kavua bonu. That's our nature. And that's the nature Hashem gave us. And given the fact that that is our nature that he gave in us, then the system that he created for our edification has got to be one that takes into account our nature. Teva ishe ben adam, lo yishana osam Hashem, klal derech nes. Hashem does not, will never change us via a nes. Hashem will never use a miracle to improve our midas. Sadly, it's down to us. Right? Hashem will be there to help us, but there's no miracles to improve midas. At least, if anyone else has found one, then I'd love to hear about it. But I'm still looking. Now, so therefore he says, there's a matara rishona. There's a first and ultimate, there's an ultimate intention of karbonus, which is the karev levavos, to bring us close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there is a matara shnia, a secondary intention, which is, quote unquote, the necessary methodology to bring us, to wean us off of Avodah Zorah or associated practices. But the goal is, of course, to bring us close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you've got these two goals that operate. There's the ultimate goal, what he calls the Matara Rishona, that we should come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu and divert all our attentions, all our energies to living the Fi Raton Hashem. But that is through the Matara Shnia, the secondary methodology, if you like, which is through Karbonos. And there's a distinction between these two. The primary goal, which is going to be tefillah and going to be a supplication to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that can be anytime, any place, anywhere. That's the primary goal. But the secondary goal has got very, very distinct rules. It can't be any place. It can't be in any place. It's got to be in the Makom Mikdash. It can't be anyone. It's got to be the Kohanim. It can't be any time. Each carbon has its time and place. Because ultimately, that's not the primary goal. It's the secondary goal. The primary goal is to utilize this as a stepping stone to bring us closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the activity of the method is restricted, whilst the activity of the goal is unrestricted. He says, and now we have an understanding of many of the Divrei HaNeviim. So everybody quotes Shmuel, a chofetz Hashem ba'olos, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want olos and zvachim, like he wants you listening to the voice of Hashem? No, you've confused the primary and the secondary. You're bringing olos and zvachim, and you're not utilizing that properly to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you have confused what is primary and what is secondary. And we are as well, ki lo dibarati es avaseichem, lo tzivisim. He quotes that Yemiyahu says to the Klal Yisrael, I didn't command you in this respect. I didn't command you in this respect to Kiloti Balasis of a second, Litzivisim, but Yom Hetzia Samayat Hashem, Al Divrei Ola Vazavach. When you came out of the Shem, I didn't command you about Olos and Zavachim. And the Rambam learns that one of two ways. Either, as we've just said, that again Yemiyahu is chastising Klal Yisrael that you have confused the primary and secondary. Or it means, it means, not on the exact day, but as I brought you out to Mitzrayim, what were the first mitzvahs you received? Mitzvahs of Morah. We received our Shabbos and Dinim. The first mitzvahs were not about Karbonos, because Karbonos was not the primary goal. Look at the primary goal was what Shabbos represented, what dinim represented. So the Yom is saying, don't confuse the two. Now, that is the Rambam. That's the Rambam in Gimel Lamed Beis Amor Nevuchim. In Gimel Mem Vov is the Rambam that the Rambam quotes. The Rambam quotes, which I think is, I don't know, to me certainly prior to this opportunity, it was more well known. And there he says as follows, so far we've dealt with the general purpose of Karbonos as opposed to the specific details of Karbonos. In Perek Mem Vov, he deals with specific details of Karbonos, and here he says that there were three types of min that the non-Jews used to worship. Bokot, Tzon, and Sirim. Right? And he quotes that even in India still today, as he writes, that the cow is a sacred animal. And therefore, in terms of the specific details of Karbonos, as opposed to the general direction of Karbonos, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked us to sacrifice that which they venerated. To demonstrate, a bit like Korban Pesach, to demonstrate that we didn't venerate this item. We didn't treat it as a god, on the contrary. We sacrificed it to the god. In a very similar way, it takes us through many practices in terms of Avodah Zorah, where it seems that in Ovdei Avodah Zorah, he says, that they used to use honey, and they used to use sa'ar on their karbonos. That which they used to use, we don't use. They didn't use melach, salt, on their karbonos. We do use. So everything is designed to be the antithesis of what they did. So that which they don't bring, we do. That which they didn't bring as a carbon, we do. That which they did bring with their sacrifices, we don't. So the detail of Karbonos is designed to drive home the point that the purpose of Karbonos is to bring us away from Avodah Zorah and thinking that just to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ad Kan, the Rambam in the two Makoros in Meir Nevuchim. Famously, of course, the Ramban over here, in the beginning of Vayikra, in the first Perek, in Pasuk Yudalef from Vayikra, Mamish attacks the Rambam. And he calls it Divrei Havoi, uses very strong language, these are empty words, how can one say such a thing? Quotes again a Pasuk from Yirmiyah. Vayarapu esh sheva basami an lakola, which means they relieve the impending disaster of my people by making light of it. The Rambam's facing a real question: what is the purpose of Karbonos? But the Rambam's attempt to address this question, he's suggesting it's not a serious attempt. How can one say such a thing? And he brings many, many kashas on the Rambam. First of all, the very concept that the essence of Karbonos was simply to wean us off of Avodah Zorah. The Pasuk says, Reach Nechoyach, the Pasuk seems to give it a positive rather than simply a negative. It's not just an antidote. It seems to have some positive purpose in and of itself, in its own right, the Reach Nechoyach. Secondly, he says that if we are going to use their animals, the animals which they treat as gods, we're going to use that for our sacrifices to our God, surely that may have the reverse effect. It may give the impression that we too hold their animals in some kind of high esteem, hold these items in high esteem. And thirdly, he brings many examples that Noach brought Karbonos, and Cain and Hevel brought Karbonos. And in those days, there were no Ovdei Avodah Zorah around. Noach was the sole sole survivors. Cain and Hevel, there were nobody else around. So if it's an antidote against Avodah Zorah, then surely that's only relevant if there are Ovdei Avodah Zorah around. If you've eradicated them completely, there's nobody to counterattack. If there was no opposition in government to government, then the government could in theory get on with it. In theory. And he writes, V'chalila shalo yeh behem shum tu eles, v'rot zem rak shu lelis l'avodah zorah midah shaitin. Chas v'shalom, the only purpose of Avodah Zorah, of Karbonos, is to, what's the word, to draw us away from the minds of fools. And the Ramban, therefore, famously suggests, which I won't go through in detail, that every Karbon is, in essence, a vicarious representation of us ourselves. We have dibur, we have machshava maisa, speech, thoughts and actions. The person involved in the carbon, bringing a carbon, is involved in all of those three aspects. With Dibra, he says, a vidui. With Machshava, the lev and kloyas, the internal organs of the carbon, represent Machshava, the seat of Machshava. With Maisa, we place a smicha on the carbon. The limbs of the carbon represent our limbs. The dam of the carbon represents our dam. And he says as follows, V'royelo sheyistrov doma v'yistrov gufo. The person's got to think to himself, if chas v'shalom, I have erred in life, then really I've forfeited my right to remain on the planet. And the carbon is a vicarious representation of myself. Lula chesed habera, we're not for the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shalacha kamele tzumura, that took the carbon in exchange for me. Now, the Ramban also goes into derech so derech HaKabbalah, and that, I'm afraid, is beyond me. The question is, what are the various tirutzim from the Rambam? These seem like extremely strong kashas, very strong kashas. The whole concept that it's only there as a negative or a positive, that Noach and Cain and Hevel, etc., who brought Karbonos when there seemed to be no Avodah Zarah around, these are very strong kashas. So I want to share with you some of the answers, or some of the suggested answers in the kashas. On the Moreh Nevuchim himself, there's a pirush called the Shem Tov. I'm sorry, before that, in the most of our Rav Kook Ramban, they quote a Sefer HaZikron of the Ritva, which I'm not familiar with, nor could I find. If anyone has it, it would be useful to see. But and he answers, so it's quite difficult to piece together his whole answer from there. But he answers, basically, in terms of Noach, first of all, Noach one could answer that this was the generation. It's true that he himself had survived, but he was very familiar with those who were over the Avodah Zarah. And it also suggests, if I understand them correctly, that both Noach, and that's why this shouldn't apply to Adam as well, almost, you know, they had intuition in terms of, because of his scheme of Das and Das and Makam, an intuition as to what a Kodesh Baruch was going to introduce to the world. But like Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, who had familiarity with Torah concepts, much discussion on how, but familiarity with Torah concepts. So even though maybe at that time there wasn't an immediate need to counteract Avodah Zarah, but nonetheless they were able to intuit what would one day become part of Torah, or one day become part of the world order as a Kodesh Baruch Hu would one day ordain it. And therefore, perhaps for them, it wasn't so much about the past or even the present, but about being in tune with a Kodesh Baruch Hu would want for the future. On the Moreh Nevuchim himself, a Shem Tov, he brings our Moshe HaNarvoni, who has a whole different take on his analysis of the Rambam. And he says as follows. And he says that actually those who answer for Rambam and those who question the Rambam, they've both got it wrong in their analysis of the Rambam. And he says the Rambam was not suggesting, and he's focusing actually on Perek Lama based on the Rambam. The Rambam was not suggesting that this was designed specifically to as an antidote to existing Avodah Zarah. No. What he's suggesting is as follows, that instinctive way to serve Hashem in those days, the instinctive way was through karbonos and the practice that goes with karbonos. Kiluhu muskul rishon, he writes, as though this was a natural way in which we would serve a deity. That's a natural way. So rather than being specific to wean them off this Avodah Zarah or that Avodah Zarah, no, this was the way in which people served. This was a natural way within a human being to serve a deity. Irrespective of the culture around them, this would have been the natural way. Which is why Noach adapted it, and why Cain and Hevel adapted it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to channel that natural instinct towards himself. Towards that we should use it positively, not negatively. But not that it was only a negative. It wasn't a negative, it happens to be the practice. I suppose, like any other practice a human being might do, there's certain ways of doing it that we naturally share wherever we are across the world, respect to the prevailing culture. So it wasn't an attack against the prevailing culture, but it was utilizing a person's natural instinct to serve a deity in service of a Kodesh Baruch. Now, the Shem Tov himself argues with this analysis, and first of all says that even if one could make that case in Perek Lamed Beis of Moreh Nevuchim, it's certainly much more difficult to make that case in Perek Mem Vav, where the Rambam says that these particular choices of item for Karbonos were specifically designed because of the deities around them. Secondly, he questions whether you can say it's such a natural thing to serve deities in those days. I don't know, I'm afraid, any about the biography of the Shem Tov, but he says, clearly he lives post-Karbonos, and he says today we don't find most of the world's servicing Karbonos as a minority of the world. If it was a natural instinct within human beings, then why should it have not prevailed beyond the Karbonos of times of Beis Hamikdash? And therefore he dismisses that, and he has another analysis of the Rambam, which we'll leave for the moment. Maybe we'll come back to. But most famously, I'd like to move on to the analysis of Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma, at the beginning of Parshas VeYikra, says as follows. Mm-hmm. He makes a distinction between two types of karbanos. And that is karbanos brought on a bama and karbanos brought in the Beis HaMikdash. A bama, so in days gone by, a person could create their own private bama, private altar in essence, and could bring karbanos on that prior to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So first discussions in the Gemara and Megillah and in Zvachim about the sequence of it, when it was allowed, when it wasn't allowed. In essence, for simplicity, for the moment, let's say that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the bombers were outlawed. Right? When there wasn't, there was then bombers were in essence in fashion, but they were allowed. So therefore, he makes a distinction between a private bomber, a private carbon, and a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says when the Rambam is talking about the Avodah Zorah, that karbonos were a mitzvah of karbonos was to wean us off Avodah Zorah, he's only talking about private karbonos on a bama. That's what the Rambam was talking about. But when, of course, when we come to Beis HaMikdash, then it's a reach nechayach. But it's not to wean us off Avodah Zorah. There it is, the Karev Levavos, to bring us closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's not an antidote then, it becomes a positive. Issue in and of itself, a positive command in and of itself. And that is the distinction that he makes, and he brings several riyas to support that distinction. The first one is the Gemara in Zevachim. Gemara in Zevachim, Daf Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph, and Daf Yud Daled, Amud Aleph at the top. There the Gemara talks about the difference between the Karbonos and the Bama and the Karbonos on the Beis HaMikdash. I forgot to bring the Gemara in front of me, but I think it's Rehuda there in the end of the Mishnah. And one of the distinctions that he makes is that the Bama is not called the Reach Nechayach. A bama is not called a fragrance for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, so far, that terminology in the Reach Nechayach is a terminology that the Ramban himself has demonstrated is for positive purpose, not simply antidote purpose. The Reach Nechayach. So, the Mishnah brings over there a view that a bama can't be described as a Reach Nechayach. Why, says the Meshech Chachma? Because a bama is only an antidote. A bama is not. A bama is not there to, as it were, to create a positive. It's there to destroy a negative, to remove a negative, not to create a positive. Therefore, the Gemara says in Zevachim, that's not what Bama is for. Beautiful Raya, that in fact, a Bama is, that's the purpose of the Bama. In Nedarim, Nun Beis, says, for the Tassanya, Rav Nosson Omer, Hanoider ki ilu bona bon. A person who takes a neder, which is a vow to be able to encourage themselves to desist from certain behaviors that are deleterious. The person who does it is kinu bona bona. Why kinu bona bona? What's the marshal over there? Because if a bama is designed to wean us off, to keep us away, to safeguard us from negative practices, we can understand the marshal that a neder is like a bama. A makaimo kinu makrivel of carbon. A person who makes a neder and then fulfills a neder, it's as though they've been makrivel of carbon on a bama. Beautiful, the same type of concept that indicates that the essence of the bama is to remove the negative rather than necessarily create, or the primary purpose is not to create the positive, it is to remove the negative. And then, it's a form of restraint. And then, because I did say on the settle there'll be some reference to Purim, let me at least quote from a Gemara Megillah, which actually has nothing to do with Purim, but hopefully that'll be yotzei the marketing. And that is as follows. The Gemara on Yod Amud Aleph in Megillah discusses whether one could still use a bomber after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Whether one could still use a bomber, private Mizbeach, if you like, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara brings Rabbi Yitzchak, an Amir Rabbi, who says, I have heard that you can do so. You can do so even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You could use a bomber. And to a certain degree, we understand that because we said that those things are, they can't stand side by side. If it's based on Middash, there can't be a bomber. If it's based on Middash, then maybe there could be a bomber. And the Gemara says, and the reason why he holds that is because he holds that the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, lo kichel osanovo, did not remain after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So not only was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, but any remaining sanctity sadly disappeared with it, and therefore it gave space, as it were, for the use of a bomber. Then the Gemara, questions this. Amarava, Henakim, Amra, did you really say this? And then Rabbi Yitzchak retracts his view. He retracts his view. And he retracts his view, says the Gemara, because of a Mishnah. In fact, the very Mishnah, which the Gemara is commenting on over here, the Mishnah itself says, Kedushas Yerushalayim Einach Reha Heta. Mishnah, Mefurash Mishnah. So he retracts his view. Then, in fact, the Gemara brings, actually, it's a machlokas tanoim. It's a machlokas whether kedusha shanaim remained extant. If it remained extant, then no bama. If it didn't, then there should be a bama. But nonetheless, the Amora retracts his view. Tosfos here asks the kasha, why was he so quick to retract his view? I mean, if it's a machlokas tanoim, he could have hung on a little bit longer and said, you know what, I've got support. I don't need to retract my view. It's true the Mishnah is against me, but this other Mishnah on Bryce is in favour of me. Machlokas tanoim, another Mishnah it is, in favour of me. Machlokas tanoim, why did he have to retract his view? So, Tosfos quotes Rav Chaim, who says as follows. He says, actually, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, there is no machlokas that you cannot have a private bama. When the Gemara says there's a machlokas over here, the issue is only, could you construct a bama on the Makom HaMikdash? Could you construct a bama on the Makom HaMikdash? The Makom Mizbeach Mutar L'Hakriv, that's the machlokas, but there is no machlokas that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, you couldn't have a private bama, which is why he retracted his view. Very nice, that's what Tosfos says. It says in Meshech Chochmah, where does he get that from? Where does Rav Chaim get that from? It's a novel idea. I mean, doesn't appear to be Pashas in the Gemara. Appears to be a straightforward machlokas. Can you construct a bama after his midrash has been destroyed? Where does he get that from? That everybody agrees you can't. The only shaila was about on the Makom Mizbeach. So it brings beautifully. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Chachamim davened for the removal of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zara. Removal of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zara. So if the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was removed, then, of course, along this particular Yesod, then, of course, there was no place for a bama anymore. If the whole purpose of a bama was to allowing us as an antidote, facility as an antidote against Avodah Zarah, once there's no Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah anymore, even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, and even if there's no Kedusha extant, then, of course, you can't use a bama anymore. It's lost its purpose, it's lost its need. On the contrary, it may be counterproductive. Therefore, says the Meshech Chochmah, having understood this, you say, I now understand this Rav Chaim in the Tosfos. Why Rav Chaim is so categoric? No Beis HaMikdash, no private bombs anymore. Once the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Because once the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was also destroyed. I'm going to run a little bit short on time, as you can see there's quite a bit more to say, but let me just round off as follows with two important Hosafos. Rabbi Yaakov from Netzli, in his Sefer, Emes Rabbi Yaakov, also quotes this Machlekes Rambam, and he says, very important that we look at the Rambam in Hilchas Me'ila, Perikhes Alachachas. Basically, he quotes the Rambam himself says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs which are chukim. Which are chukim, that means mitzvahs without reasons. But chukim hey mitzvahs she'ein tam on yodua. They are mitzvahs when their reasons are not known. V'chol ha'karbonos kulon mechlal ha'chukim hey. And all the karbonos are mitzvahs where we ourselves can't fathom the reason. And he then goes on to bring the importance of karbonos, the world stands through karbonos, and therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Malecki, we can't take the Moron of Vuchim without looking at the Mishnah Torah. And therefore, clearly over here, whilst the Rambam, was suggesting, as he does at the beginning of this halacha, Roy the Olam Nisponim Mishnah Torah, we're entitled to try and fathom reasons, we're entitled to try and analyze, but nonetheless, we've got to do so with a certain degree of humility, because as much as we can analyze, there are certain mitzvahs the Torah tells us itself, that the reasons are beyond human comprehension. So therefore he says that clearly what the Moron of Vuchim suggests is not the whole story, nor does the Rambam himself suggest it is the whole story. It's a component that we can suggest, but it doesn't cover the whole story. I want to finish off with Rav Zevin, in the Sefer Torah Mo'adim, who brings a medrash that suggests that maybe this machlokas between Rambam and Ramban was in fact a dialogue between none other than that Kodesh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Brings a medrash in Vayikra Rabba, Yudzayim Zayim, says as follows. Amar Rabbi Avin, kach umo Moshe lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. So says Moshe Rabbeinu to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel Olam, mishivim umos, sheyesh lecha ba'olam echa. Amongst the 70 nations in your world, Iyata Matsava Osi El Ali Yisrael, and he's talking about, it's based upon this week's parasha, Adam Giyakir Mekem. Why is this in Moshe Rabbeinu, that of the 70 nations in the world, he only commanded me to instruct Karbonis for one nation? For one nation? Now, and then he brings two opinions as to what the reply was from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We'll leave the two opinions now. But it's interesting, there's no other mitzvah where Moshe Rabbeinu asked this kasha. Of the 70 nations in the world, you never asked me to instruct anybody else to put on tefillin. only with the Kabbalist. He says, observing that this is really the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu, if the whole purpose of Karbonis is to wean people up of Avodah Zarah, surely we ought to instruct the other nations of the world. They're the ones that are struggling with the addiction. We're not struggling with it at all. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in his reply, one of the replies is, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, only the nations said, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ba'ed. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, no, that's not the only reason for Karbonis. That's not the only reason. Of course, the predominant reason for Karbonis is that you should elevate me in this world, there should be Kedush in this world, you should elevate everything in this world, Odom Kiyakrav Mikem. And that can only appertain to Klal Yisrael. So this Medrash, as Rav Zevin implies, as it says, is itself a dialogue between Kodesh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu about the Machlokes Rambam Rambam. Yeah.